Many years ago, when I lived in India for a year, I struggled with the language. I'm not good at languages, and though I had taken 3 years of Hindi before I went, I found that sometimes even easy ideas were hard to understand and harder to express. We were all speaking Hindi, or in my case, trying to speak Hindi. That is the language of the part of northern India in which I lived. One of the most challenging parts of the language for me was the family terms. In fact, my confusion was understandable since there were pages and pages of words for family members of different degrees and detailed relationships. Here we suffice it to say aunt or uncle, but there you get much more specific and use a different word for the mother's brother versus the father's brother. And in some cases it got so specific you were using a term for the mother's eldest brother versus another brother versus the youngest brother. It was really daunting stuff to me as a foreigner. And then there was the term ma-bap. Ma, mother in Hindi, as we just heard it sung. Bap, father in Hindi. Ma-bap, what was that? It had not made it into my 3 years of studying Hindi. As I traveled around, I heard people use that word, or maybe it's a term, to describe someone central to their lives, someone on whom their life depended, but very likely someone who was not related to them at all. People would say that their employer or the principal of a school that they attended was their ma-bap. What relationship was that? The thing about parenting is that we were all parented, and we all parent the young people around us. This is a two-way street. I ask you to imagine being in a car looking forward as you drive. We can call that the now and the future relationship. But also, as we drive in that car, we note what we see in the rear view mirror. We see conveniently in that center mirror and the ones on the sides. So I ask you now to sit in that car and look back on your life, into your own childhoods. Some of you, some of us, had mothers who met our needs and who loved us in healthy and whole ways, who nurtured us into adulthood. Others, perhaps many, had mothers who tried to parent us but who fell short in some way. Maybe there was a substance abuse problem, maybe poverty or too many children distracted her. Maybe, like me, your mother suffered from mental illness or a disability that prevented her from parenting you in the way that you, and no doubt she, would have wished. I have friends whose mothers died when they were young. My friends yearned for all that they thought a mother could be and that their stepmother wasn't. And friends whose stepmother or grandmother or other loved one was the saving grace of their complex and perhaps painful childhood. I don't need to tell you all the stories. You know all the stories. The gentle, loving, pretty complete stories, and the sadder or harsher or more disappointing tales. The stories that start with one trajectory and move to another trajectory rapidly or even cataclysmically or slowly, almost imperceptibly. You know all the stories, and some of you have lived one of the stories. What I'm talking about as we look in the rearview mirror is who helped us to get to the place that we are now in as adults. The people who helped us into our wholeness today. The people not always our parents, though certainly sometimes our parents, who have loved us into this moment. I'm talking about the ma-bap people. of our lives. The ones, perhaps your mother, but maybe your father, maybe your grandparent, or the librarian at school, or the kind neighbor who loved us past youthful awkwardness and past callow immaturity and into the person we are today. For me, my father raised me. He is the one I always honor on Mother's Day. He stepped forward when my mother faded out. He did that when there were not any two-person father and daughter households that we knew or had ever even heard of. Dad had 2 feet in. He started making all the decisions when I was in preschool. He tucked me into bed and read me stories before I went to sleep. He chose my school and worked with my teachers through the revelation of my dyslexia. He stepped up with birthday party planning and so much more. He never married, and he was my only parent until he died a few years ago. So again, I ask, who was your ma-bop? For some of you, that person was your mom, or maybe even you had the blessing of 2 parents with that strength and goodness. But if not, I hope and pray someone did those needful and important nurturing acts for you. Maybe not quite as often as you would have liked, but I pray there was someone who loved you into this world. Who was it? Please think for a moment, and then with me, say their name in gratitude and love, quietly. Who was your ma-bop? Who is your ma-bop? Please quietly call out one or more names now. We have called out the names of these, our beloved ancestors, our ancestors of the heart. Some mothers and many others who stepped forward to help us get to this day. Bless you, named ones. Bless you for the loving you willingly gave us and for the way you rest in our hearts today. And yet the car in which we are riding is also moving us forward. Forward to parent the children and youth we love here, our biological children and nieces and nephews and grandchildren and the children of this congregation. Those who call us mother or father, grandparent, aunt, and those who don't. We choose to single out certain young people because they touch us and we want to be part of their growing up. I also want to name the challenge that some of us, and I am among us, who have had in becoming mothers or parents. Adoption plans that went awry, lost pregnancies, the inability to become pregnant, not finding a partner with whom to try. Financial problems from trying to become parents in the method you choose or was chosen for you. Those who ended up as a parent, and those who lost a child. All of you are in my story today. Loss can be a part of the story of parenting. And so now we are in the car that keeps driving forward, presenting young people to us who need to be loved, not only by their own parents and family, but by all of us. All of us in this beloved community have a role in raising all of our children. So let us name young people who we will hope will include us in their list of ancestors, will include us as part of their ma-bop folks when they are older than they are now. Again, I invite you to claim out loud those you love in the younger generation, and say their names out loud. Say their names now, quietly. And so it is done. We have called the names of these, our beloved offspring, our children of the heart. Some are related to us, and others are young ones whose spirits touch us, or who we know we just need us. Bless you, named ones. Bless you for the loving you graciously allow us to give, and for the way you rest in our hearts today. Flowers, 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 how beautiful. Thank you all who brought flowers today from your garden or this store. One of Unitarian Universalism's unique rituals was created in 1923. It was developed by Norbert and Maja Čepek, Czechoslovakian Unitarian ministers. Norbert was born in Czechoslovakia and was ordained a Baptist minister. He later left the ministry, came to the United States, where he served in the U.S. Army intelligence during the First World War. Maja Oratevec, who became Norbert's wife, was also born in Czechoslovakia and attended Catholic school there. Growing up, Maja wasn't comfortable with Catholic schools or the church. In the same way that many of us weren't comfortable with our former faiths, whatever they were, Catholicism just didn't fit her. When she had traveled to the U.S. and met Norbert in New York City, where they met, at her suggestion, they became Unitarians. And I'll mention that in the order of service, the insert has a picture of both of them. They developed a connection with the American Unitarian Association. So that's before the merger, when there was just an association for each part of our faith. The Čepeks returned to Czechoslovakia and founded a Unitarian church. In fact, their church in Prague was the largest Unitarian congregation in the world at one point. Maja was soon ordained a Unitarian minister. Maja and Norbert wanted to create a new ceremony that could bring the people together and make them feel like a religious community. They fashioned what they called the Flower Festival, and it was first celebrated 96 years ago tomorrow. They originally named it a festival, not a communion, so as not to offend folks with diverse religious backgrounds who might experience the festival, either from within the congregation, anybody, you know, anybody could be offended by the use of the word communion in this tense. So while we often call this service the Flower Communion, they were careful to welcome all, calling it a Flower Festival. They didn't want to make those who are previously or even currently Jews, Catholics, or agnostics uncomfortable. Is there a little bit more room there? Can we create a little bit more space, Rachel? Thank you. Wow, flowers. So in this way, the Flower Festival honors the diversity found in our faith communities. Each of us comes here, go sit with your parents, kids, each with a different view, or grandparents, or whoever, looking for different things and exploring different paths. Here we find community. Here we find others to share the journey. We listen, learn, and laugh with each other. We gather together, affirming that while we may each be seeking our own truth, it helps to have others to learn and share with. As Unitarian Universalists, we affirm that we are interconnected, that we need one another. In 1940, Maja Čepek came back to the United States to preach and raise money for her church, for their church. At that time, she introduced the Flower Festival to American Unitarian congregations, and we quickly made it our own. While she was here in the U.S., World War II broke out, and Maja was unable to return to Norbert, who remained in Czechoslovakia. At his own risk, and he knew this risk, he continued to preach liberal religious ideas. The Nazi Gestapo eventually sent him to Dachau concentration camp, where he was executed. While in the camp, Dr. Čapek, courage in the face of torture and starvation was a source of inspiration to his fellow prisoners, and he led worship using the flower festival ceremony in Dachau. What a blessing he was able to do that. Meanwhile, Maja decided to remain in the United States, working to help international relief efforts during the war. She died in 1956. Whenever either minister conducted the flower festival, they would bless or consecrate the flowers with these words, as I will today. Infinite Spirit of life, we ask thy blessing on these, thy messengers of fellowship and love. May they remind us amid diversities of knowledge and of gifts to be one in desire, affection, and devotion to thy holy will. May they also remind us of the value of comradeship, of doing and sharing alike. May we cherish friendship as one of thy most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationship, but may we realize that whatever we do, great or small, the efforts of all of us are indeed needed to do thy work in this world.